Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We want to welcome you to our program tonight. We do hope you brought your Bibles and you've got those Bibles ready to open, because we're going to be talking some more about the Holy Spirit tonight. But first of all, we need to get a few things out of the way. We are broadcasting from the HPR network, KATX 97.7 FM in Eastland, Texas, KNNK 100.5 in Hereford, Texas. Also, we have a station in Hydro, Oklahoma, KQMK 1680 AM. And, of course, knowthetruthradio.org, the Internet radio on your Internet. We have a motto here, and our motto is, you have heard what men have said, and now let's hear what the Bible says. And that's all we're after here at this program, is to let the world know what the Bible has to say about each and every subject. And for this, we ask that you call in. This is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your statements. There are many ways to enter into this discussion. You can also enter in through the chat box on the knowthetruthradio.org website there. You can type in some questions or some comments there, as well as you can contact us through email at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We have some sponsors for this program. The Hillcrest Church of Christ and the Park Heights Church of Christ are two of our sponsors. But in addition to those, we have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Dublin Church of Christ, or the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and also the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, which tonight are having a gospel meeting. And if you are in the area close to where they are having this gospel meeting in Brownwood, we would highly recommend that you go there. They've got a good gospel preacher there, Rick Popejoy, and he's teaching out of the book of Hebrews tonight. I believe the topic is, there has got to be a better way.
If they're going to the program there, go tomorrow.
Yes.
Stay here with us right now. Go to the meeting tomorrow.
Very good. Very good. Now, we have brought several lessons on the Holy Spirit, and we have covered some misconceptions of the Holy Spirit and what a lot of people think about that. We have covered some information about the Godhead. We have done several different programs on this Holy Spirit, but what the main thing that we need to know about the Holy Spirit is that every single thing that we know concerning the Holy Spirit or the Godhead is going to come directly out of your Bible, or you don't know anything at all. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now tonight, we're going to consider the Holy Spirit and the apostles. It's very important that we understand how the Holy Spirit operates, how the Holy Spirit works. And Tom, we're going to begin tonight by talking about the beginning of Jesus' personal ministry when he selected these apostles. And there he gave them instructions as to what was going to happen in the near future with this Holy Spirit, did he not?
Exactly. You know, so from this number of his disciples that he selected, his apostles. And by the way, we might mention that these disciples, these students, these learners, these followers, from this number that followed him in his ministry, he selected 12 apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, tell us of the names of these 12 apostles. And we need to understand, as we begin the idea of Holy Spirit and the apostles, to understand that an apostle was one who was specially chosen by Christ. Now, we might mention as a side note, David, there are people today who believe there are apostles today.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see Jesus specially chose these ones. And there were some things that they had to be before they could be an apostle. They had to be with Jesus.
Right.
You know, in the flesh, to be taught by him, be among him. Well, no one can do that today.
No.
But these were specially chosen people. They were not self-appointed men. Today, there are a lot of people who assume this, and they usurp the authority of God and this unique position, which was restricted totally and exclusively to the first century. And the word apostle means one who is sent. Now, David later, these ones whom he chose in chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, were later sent out on a limited commission. And you'll notice there in Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, Go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Get you no gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, no wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff, for the laborer is worthy of his hire." It's interesting, isn't it, David, that God, or Jesus here, is going to send these apostles out, but this is known as a limited commission. And he was going to send them to the lost sheep of Israel, but he was not to go to those of the Gentiles or those of the Samaritans. Mm-hmm. The question I have, David, is why would this be the case?
Well, they call it a limited commission, and that's man's terminology for what it was. Later there will be the Great Commission. This is limited in the sense that he said, "I want you to go to the Jews first." Now, the Jews knew all along, all the way back from Abraham, that the Christ, the Messiah, was going to come through the Hebrews, going to come through the line of David. And so all of these people, all of this time, they knew about the background information that God had given about the Messiah, about the salvation, about the kingdom that was to come, and about all of this that was to be established. So the Jews had the background information, the Gentiles did not.
Exactly. You know, when we think about this limited commission, he gives them some more instruction.
Mm-hmm.
In verses 16 through 20, some more details with regard to this limited commission, when he says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." That ought to be something kind of scary,
right?
You know, it's scary for him right off the bat. But he says, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to council, and in their synagogues they will scourge you. Yea, before governors and kings shall you be brought for my sake, for a testimony to the Gentiles, to them and to the Gentiles." But then here's something very key to what we're talking about tonight. "But when they deliver you up, be not anxious how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you."
So the Holy Spirit is going to give the words to the apostles to speak in order to convert and in order to carry out the will of God in this commission.
Exactly. So we have here a limited commission. He promises them in this limited commission they were to go to the Jews alone, mm-hmm. because they're ready for this. They've had all the preparatory work. They should be the ones of all people who are ready for the church to come. He's to go to them, they are to go to them, and don't be afraid, because the Holy Spirit is going to direct them in what they're about to say. Because, you know, they didn't have it written down, did they?
No.
They didn't have the Bible and all this, so they had to be guided by the Spirit to know exactly what to say. Don't be afraid, because the Spirit is going to give you in that hour what you shall say. Well, later on, you're going to see that they were also given the Great Commission.
Right.
Into which they were to go into all the world.
That would include the Gentiles.
Exactly.
As well. And it's interesting that between Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 28, there's about 3 years that go by. And this is the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ here on this earth. At the time we get to Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ has been crucified, he has been buried, he has been resurrected. Now he appears to his apostles one more time for one last piece of information before he ascends into heaven to go and see his Father. And in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 28, very significant verse, he says, "All power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." If he has all authority, who will question this? Who but an unbeliever would question this? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, based upon the fact that I have all power, here's your commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, they're not going alone.
Exactly.
He's sending them out with the words of the third person of the Godhead, who receives his words from the first and second person of the Godhead. And so the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into all truth. And we're going to see this as we go through this lesson. Now,
isn't it interesting also in that regard, David, that some of the very last words that Jesus said to his disciples, his apostles, to go teach,
mm-hmm.
baptize,
mm-hmm.
and teach.
Right.
And yet we live in a world today where people many times want to disallow baptism
mm-hmm.
as being essential, and yet these are some of the very last things Jesus said to his apostles.
Yeah, not only do they think baptism is non-essential, they think teaching is non-essential as well.
Evidently.
But here, now, as we get into this discussion, I want to invite people to pick up their telephones. And this is a toll-free number. I don't care if you're in Egypt, if you're listening to this program. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We will pick up the tab. We'll pay for the phone call. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment about this Holy Spirit, if it's about the Holy Spirit and it's not even about what we're talking about, go ahead and call in. We'll cover the subject. We'll give you a Bible answer for your question. And we highly encourage you to call in with your questions, with your comments, as we consider the Holy Spirit tonight and his work with the apostles. Now, Tom, the main role of the apostles, working with the Holy Spirit, it was all about redemption.
Exactly.
The redeeming of souls, and they couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had to have man in order to portray and proclaim the word. Now, I think it's interesting that this has got to be a two-way street here. Because if what people say today about the Holy Spirit, that he spoke to them directly, then why in the world would he need to select 12 men to go out and preach? Why didn't he just send the Holy Spirit out there to zap it on them?
Exactly. You know, when you look in the book of Acts, every conversion account, every single one has to do with the Word of God being taught.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single one has the Holy Spirit directly doing anything on anybody's heart. All of them are associated with the teaching of the Word of God, and that's why in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus appointed 12 men, the apostles,
mm-hmm.
that they should be with him and that they might send them forth to preach.
Right.
That's the key.
Not to just perform miracles.
Right.
Now, that's where a lot of people want to get caught up in the miracles that were performed. They were performed for a purpose, but their objective from Jesus was to get out there and preach, and then to confirm that word with the miracle.
Exactly. And then in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus said that they were to go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church, the kingdom of heaven is close by. They're to go out and begin to prepare people for that moment in Acts chapter 2 that the church was going to be brought into existence by Peter's sermon there on the day of Pentecost.
So for 3 years, Jesus is with these apostles, and he is preparing them for his departure, his upcoming departure. And he promises them this Holy Spirit so that he will guide them into all truth. And in all of this, what he is telling them to do is to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. That would be the church. It's right at hand. It's not here yet, but it's at hand. It's a very close proximity here.
Now, tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the apostles. And one of the things we want to emphasize in all of this with regard to the Holy Spirit and the apostles is that it's always surrounded by the Word, something being taught. And what we're going to see tonight is that the miracles that were performed in the New Testament all were for the purpose of proving that what the apostles said was true.
Right.
They were clothed with miraculous powers. This was for credentials. You know, today, and we'll talk more about this today in other lessons, today we don't need such credentials, do we?
No, we do not.
Because we have the written Word of God. And when a person stands up and says, this is what God says, well, we can open up the Bible and say, hey, looky here, it says it in the Bible. Back in the first century, they didn't have that yet. So they had to have the miracles as credentials. But again, what's important in all this is what the apostles taught.
Right.
And not the miracles they performed, but what they taught.
Yes, and I think it's also interesting to note that as they taught, they were confirming the word that they taught with these miracles. And I've had people tell me, Tom, over and over again, well, it would have been a whole lot easier to be a believer in the first century than it would be here because of all the miracles that you could see. And yet we read over and over and over in the New Testament, in the Gospels here, where they were witnessing these miracles happening right before their very eyes, and yet they rejected the miracles as being any kind of a confirmation to the Word at all.
Exactly. You know, man's heart are going to be hardened or softened whether or not they see miracles or not.
Right.
And, you know, we've got to realize that we have miracles in a sense that we have them recorded for us in the Bible.
Right.
These are God's miracles that were performed in the first century to authenticate the Word of God that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Word of God today. We have the teaching of God's Word, and that's all that we need. You know, when Jesus was selecting his apostles, in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, he went up in the mountain and he prayed there in verse 12. It says he continued all night in prayer to God.
And it was about these apostles.
That's right. It's a very serious business that he was about to be involved in selecting these men because he was about to bestow upon them a special power, a power wherewith they could teach other people about the kingdom, the church that was to come. You know, the far-reaching importance of the apostles' work in redemption can be seen in the emphasis that Jesus gave in his upper room discourse in John chapters 13 through 16. You know, Jesus said there that he was going to soon go away. You know, in John chapter 13, for example, in verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, well, really, that sets the stage for what he's going to be saying
right.
for these next hours. He's leaving. He's going to be leaving the disciples. Well, what are they going to do?
Well, he's preparing them as we look at chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And we can't, because of the time allotment that we have here, we can't read it all, but this is all in preparation of his departure, and he is preparing them mentally for his departure, and to make sure that they're going to be confident in him not being there. In chapters 14, 15, and 16, he promises them that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them. This is a promise from Jesus, the Son of God, that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is going to remind them and bring into remembrance everything that he taught them and everything that they need to know.
You know, we look at this chapters 13 through 16. I find it interesting, David, that he begins in chapter 13 by washing the disciples' feet, showing them the importance of servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about how, that as going to the latter part of verse 13, how they needed to be willing to love one another, you know, so that the people round about could see where they're coming from, because You know, if you don't have love and if you don't have service, all the things you say, people aren't going to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Be of service. Love one another, and I'm going to give you what you need to say to these people by means of the Comforter that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. You know, they were troubled.
Yep.
Wouldn't you be troubled? You know, you're working with Jesus for 3 years, and all of a sudden you realize he's going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid. That's why it says in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. He's going to encourage them by means of the knowledge that they were going to receive a Comforter.
Right. And then in chapter 14, in verse 26, this is where they get their real comfort, because he tells them here, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And this is a great, great comfort to know that they are going to have this Holy Spirit with them. And so their work was to be closely intertwined with the Holy Spirit, who would be dispatched, as he said there, from God the Father and God the Son, to be their constant comforter and holy helper.
Exactly. You know, of these 12, Judas became a traitor and he fell. His place was taken by Matthias, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Later, Paul was brought into this special company of apostles with equal powers. Now, there was a little bit of difference with Paul than the other apostles in the sense that his work was mainly among the Gentiles. Though he often preached and penned writings to the Jews as well, his main focus was among the Gentiles, as is seen in Acts chapter 26, verse 17, and Romans chapter 11, verse 13, and other passages. Their goal, their purpose, was to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand,
mm-hmm.
to bring people to the knowledge of God. And remember, as you mentioned a moment ago there in John 14, verse 16, that I want you to teach all things that
right.
I taught, and I'm going to bring to your remembrance all these things. How is this going to take place, David? How are they going to have this comforter that Jesus promised them?
Well, he promised them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And while we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this should perk up a bunch of ears out there listening to this program, because there's a lot of confusion, Tom, about this Holy Spirit baptism.
And most of that confusion comes because they don't know what the Bible has to say about the subject.
Exactly. And everything, let me reiterate this, everything that you know about the Holy Spirit is going to come from the Word of God, or you don't know anything at all. It doesn't make any difference who told you, what they told you, and how they felt about it. If it didn't come out of the Word of God, you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And so this Holy Spirit baptism was promised them by Jesus. John the Baptist portrayed Jesus as the one who would administer the Holy Spirit baptism. And I think that's pretty significant, because Jesus Christ is the one who will administer the Holy Spirit baptism. God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, is going to administer the Holy Spirit baptism, and that would be the third person of the Godhead.
And we know this because that's what the Scripture says.
That's exactly what the Scripture says.
Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 says, here John the Baptizer's teaching, he says, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But he, that is Jesus, that cometh after me, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He, that is Jesus, shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus is going to bring upon the apostles. Jesus is responsible for this baptism, this immersion, this engulfing of the
right.
Holy Spirit.
And so this is what is going to happen. And among the last words spoken to the apostles, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that is found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. This was again a promise to the apostles. And this is not something that just happened off of the cuff. About 800 years previous to this happening, Joel actually prophesied that this is exactly what was going to happen out there in the future somewhere. Well, it happened to be about 800 years later, and he prophesied this very thing, and it all came to fruition on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And there, beginning in verse number 16, he says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." What they saw was the Holy Spirit coming upon these 12 apostles. Now, this seems like an impossible task, 12 men sent out into all the world. The world's a big place. How in the world are 12 men going to get it done? Alone, it would have been impossible. But with the Holy Spirit baptism, now there is a possibility that these 12 men could cover the whole earth with the help of the Comforter who will guide them into all things.
Exactly. You know, when we think about this idea, and I keep thinking there about Acts 2 and verse 16,
mm-hmm.
This is that.
Mm-hmm.
There is no mistaking. Peter on that day, by inspiration, says, what you see is happening right here is a fulfillment of what Joel said back in Joel chapter 2 about that outpouring, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the apostles on that day, we might also mention, David, that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit did not fall on all that multitude, did it?
No, it did not.
When you look at the text there, you'll see, you'll find out when you look at the antecedents to the one receiving this, it was the 12,
right,
and not the 120.
Right.
You know, that's just good Bible study.
Sure.
You know, people like to kind of twist and turn things to fit their own liking, but it was the 12, and only the 12 on the day of Pentecost that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that day. But David, the apostles, they were not the only ones who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right?
They were on that day, but later on, it happened again.
Exactly.
This is not a common phenomenon. It is not something that you can read about all throughout the Scriptures. This is something that happened only three times in the entire book that covers several thousand years here. And so this is not the first time that this happened, but Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, is the fulfillment of that promise. And I want to just read the first four verses to show what happened on that day. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled," and that is the baptism, the immersion. "They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances." Verse 6 identifies the tongues, Tom.
Exactly.
It says, "Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language."
You know, one of the things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking in greater detail with this
mm-hmm.
in a week or two, but it was something of significance. It was pointing to a significant change.
Right.
On the day of Pentecost, it's a significant change because now the church is being established.
Right.
There is a significant time, a significant point of reference to that date. We're going to see also later in Acts chapter 10, there's going to be another significant point of time taking place. And that is when the Gentiles were converted, and on that day they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, showing and pointing to the point that God also accepts the Gentiles
mm-hmm.
along with the Jews.
There had to be some great proof before this Gentile nation was allowed to be brought in.
Jews had trouble with it, though.
Yeah, they had a lot of trouble with it. Well, Tom, it's just about time to take us a little break here. We're at the halfway point of our program. We are discussing the Holy Spirit and the apostles. We want you to call in. I'm going to give you the number again, 1-855-QAM. QA Bible. It is a toll-free number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You might have a comment. You might have a question. Whatever it may be, tune in, and we would love to give you a Bible answer for your question. You're listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Five QA Bible. Welcome back, radio listeners, to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, with my partner and good friend on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ right here in Stephenville, Texas. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion or if you would like, or if you have a question that you would like answered, be sure and call us. The number to call is 1-855 QA Bible. That's 1-855 QA Bible. Now, this is a toll-free number, so call in if you have a question or a comment. Tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the apostles. You know, though, David, there is a big group of people out there in the world who have a total misconception, wrong information about the Holy Spirit and its connection with the apostles. And I'm afraid, David, that most people's information that they have is information that they have received from some man or some secular book, and they have not gone to the Word of God. You know, as we've said several times, if you don't know what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit, then you don't know anything at all.
Well, one of the reasons we are covering this topic tonight, the Holy Spirit and the apostles, is because we want to see where this Holy Spirit miraculous power began. And it was Jesus the Christ who would give this Holy Spirit baptism to these apostles, and in turn, they would distribute this later on, and we'll get into this later. But the misconception that we have, Tom, is not only with the Holy Spirit and the apostles, but with the Holy Spirit working in people today, directly, in a direct manner. You know, in my office just today, while you and I were in there preparing for this program, no less than two different people talked to us today about the Holy Spirit and their misconception about it. And all in the world they are doing is repeating what they have heard and not what they have read from the Bible.
That's why it's important for us to study about the Holy Spirit, because I think that a lot of times people have gotten away from it because they're afraid of the issue. Well,
sure.
David, if we just study what the Bible has to say, we can't be wrong about this.
No, we cannot. And this is one of the most divisive issues in religion, is the Holy Spirit issue.
And, you know, we've talked about in times past how people's misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit is really the foundation of much of the false doctrine that we have in our world today.
No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it.
And so we left off in the last, the first part of the hour about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it was promised to the apostles and how it was given to them in Acts chapter 2. It was promised in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. This fulfillment took place in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." This Holy Spirit baptism was later given to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, that they may prove that God also accepts the Gentiles. But also in Acts chapter 9, Paul received Holy Spirit baptism. Now, these three occurrences are the only three Holy Spirit baptisms in the Bible. This was a very uncommon occurrence. Not the common phenomenon that the charismatics arrogantly claim today, but only three times. Now, I know that there's a lot more questions you're going to have about this, and we are going to discuss this very issue, the Holy Spirit baptism, in greater detail in a future lesson next week or the week after. But, David, what we need to understand tonight is the Holy Spirit had a very important role with regard to the apostles, because the Holy Spirit, He was to be their comforter.
Right. And let's not forget this one thing. The Holy Spirit baptism was a promise by Jesus to the apostles only. It was a promise to be fulfilled. It was not a command to be obeyed. And what people are saying today is that they are obeying the command of God in receiving this Holy Spirit baptism. And there is no obedience to a command, because there is no command to receive this Holy Spirit baptism. It is only a promise, and that promise was only to the apostles.
The only baptism we're commanded to abide by today is baptism for the remission of our sins.
The baptism of the Great Commission.
Exactly. Which was taught by the apostles,
sure,
who had the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, with the exact words that they needed to have. Now, this Holy Spirit role, as we've mentioned this name before, this comforter, and in John chapter 14 and verse number 26, we are identified there. The comforter is identified for us as the Holy Spirit, or the King James Version would say, the Holy Ghost. So he is the comforter. He is called the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And this comforter would act as an advocate. But let's just read some of those passages of Scripture, Tom, if you don't mind.
Yeah, in John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever." Now, another comforter, that must mean Jesus was their comforter.
He was their first one.
He was going to go away, and so now we're going to give you another comforter, and that other comforter, as we see in verse 26 that you just read a moment ago, that comforter was going to be the Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
Well, you'll notice also in John chapter 15 and verse 26, "But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. Look at the connection there, David.
Mm-hmm.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Godhead.
Exactly. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came from the Father and was going to be sent to them by the Son. And so, again, they needed this Comforter because the first Comforter, Jesus, was going to be taken away.
Right.
And then you'll notice in John chapter 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I go, I will send him unto you."
Okay. So this Comforter is going to do the same thing that Jesus did for them. He is going to be their advocate. He's going to be their counselor. He's going to be their helper. He's going to be their guide. He's going to be their confidant. He's going to be their associate. He's going to be their exhorting power. He's going to be their recalling power. He's going to be their revealing power. And he's going to be their foretelling power. Now, that is true comfort.
Exactly.
That is being guided into all truth, past, present, and future.
Now, tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the apostles and the connection with the two, and specifically, presently at the moment, we're talking about the Holy Spirit's role as comforter to the apostles. Now, if you have a question or a comment about what we're talking about tonight, we encourage you to call us. The number to call, a toll-free number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And so, because Jesus is going away, he's going back to the Father, he said, "I'm going to send you another comforter."
Mm-hmm.
One is going to counsel them and guide them and provide them everything they need. And having this comforter, they would not make a mistake in what they taught orally or what they wrote. That's important, isn't it, David?
Sure it is, because a mistake will cause someone to lose their soul. An error in religion will cause someone to lose their soul. Now, these people that are in these denominational bodies that don't believe what they're teaching, and yet they remain in that denominational body, they are receiving error that is a damning error to their souls. They need to get out of there.
Now, one thing we've got to remember about all this also, you know, there are a lot of people out there in the world today who claim that they have the Holy Spirit directing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it amazing that one group says they've got the Holy Spirit guiding them. Another group said they got the Holy Spirit guiding them. Here's one that said they got the Spirit guiding them over here. And yet all of these various groups teach things that are different and contradictory one to another.
Sure.
And yet here, the Holy Spirit was for the purpose of directing them so they would not make mistakes.
Right.
They would not make errors, and that the apostles would teach exactly what Jesus taught and bring to their remembrance what Jesus taught and teach what he taught accurately.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important then that we understand the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was going to be having a strategic position in the first century and unfolding the things concerning the church. They are going to know all they needed to know.
Right. Now, as Jesus was giving them this information in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, the dawn of Christianity is now going to be less than 2 months away. This is the time frame that we're dealing with. At less than 2 months away, the church is going to be established, and the Comforter would be divine. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's not some kind of an angel, an angelic advocate, but he is a divine advocate because he is of the divine three that compose and make up that Godhead. And so the Holy Spirit would be of the same kind as Jesus, who was also called an advocate. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, have you got that one there?
Exactly. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You see, the Holy Spirit is of the same kind as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be our advocate. He is going to be our comforter. Remember, Jesus already said, I'm sending to you another comforter.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is divine. Jesus is divine. And so the soon-to-be-sent Holy Spirit is just as divine as Jesus. You know, we have two distinct persons set forth as advocate then. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Advocate, comforter.
Right. Now, again, in John chapter 14, in verse number 26, we want to get this point across. Remember, this is a promise by Jesus to the apostles. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. They're going to remember the exact words. And the Holy Spirit is going to inspire them. He's going to teach them all things. He's going to allow them to recall all things that Jesus has said. Now, the Holy Spirit would testify of Jesus. And we read about this in chapter 15 and verse 26. Do you have that?
Exactly. It says, but when the Comforter is come, he will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And ye also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I find it highly significant, David, because today, people who claim to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who claim to have the miraculous measure and be able to prophesy and speak in tongues, it's all about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about them. But Jesus says the Holy Spirit was with the apostles for the purpose, and I quote exactly, he, that is the Holy Spirit, shall bear witness of me.
Right.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about glorifying God.
Exactly.
It's all about glorifying God in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you mentioned just a moment ago that these apostles had to have certain qualifications. Those qualifications are listed for us there in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. It says, wherefore of these men which have companied with us, the rest of the apostles, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the same day that he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And so he had to see Jesus in order to be a qualified apostle. That cannot happen today.
Exactly.
It cannot happen today.
You know, when the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles to testify of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
we see that this is what happened. When the apostles preached throughout the New Testament, as the Spirit of truth guided them into all the truth, it was all about Jesus.
Right.
It was not about the Holy Spirit. It was not about their personal worth of being able to perform miracles. It was about Jesus into all the truth. John 16 and verse 13. Now, isn't it interesting that Peter, through the Spirit, said, that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness to the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue.
Yes.
And so the apostles has given us, they were given all things. Now the apostles has given us all things through the written revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, I'm not a rocket scientist or by any means, but if the Bible says all things that pertains to life and godliness are given to us in the written word of God, is there anything else that we need to be pleasing in the sight of God?
No. No, we have it all. We've got it. And even Paul, through the Holy Spirit, would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And the correct terminology for that and the meaning of that is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed, given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Peter said all things were provided. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said all things were provided by the Holy Spirit. So why can't we get a hold of this? Why is it now that we have to have men and women today claiming that they have a new and another in addition to revelation from the Holy Spirit, in addition to all that has been revealed to us, that we may be complete and perfect?
You know, people need to remember what Jesus said would happen. In John chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into
all truth.
All the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever ye shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall not take of mine, and shall declare it unto you. For he shall take of mine and declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he taketh of mine and shall declare it unto you." What the Holy Spirit hears from the Father and the Son, he was to convey and did convey unto you, that is,
the apostles. And even through all this, the Holy Spirit is not the originator, but only the revealer of this truth, and the apostles were the receivers of this truth, who became the proclaimers of this truth, and the Spirit is going to be not only guiding them into all truth presently, but he's going to be a foreteller of the truth, because there in verse 13 he says he will guide you into all the truth, and he will show you things to come.
You know, one good example of that, now we have several examples we could talk about, but one example is found in the book of Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, here we have Paul who is talking to the Ephesian elders, and he has these words to say in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. He says, "I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them." Here, David, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is forthtelling. He's telling of something that is to come. He's telling that there is going to come an apostasy that is going to take place in the eldership.
Right.
This is something the Holy Spirit told Paul was going to take place.
Right.
That's one of the examples of this forthtelling.
Well, another example is 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 1, where he says there, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly," the very words, "the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils." Now, this is a foretelling because the Holy Spirit has given them the words. Now, this Spirit, according to John chapter 16 and verse 14, is supposed to glorify our Lord. That is the part of the work of the Spirit through the apostles. It is to glorify Jesus Christ. And through the apostles and through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ would be glorified.
Exactly.
He would be. But that is not the case with the Pentecostals today, Tom.
Exactly. They preach the Holy Spirit as the focus of their lesson, and that's what all these so-called tongues are about, and all of these flopping around and slobbering. It's all about the Holy Spirit to them. But the Holy Spirit in the first century was for the purpose of glorifying Jesus.
Right.
And that's why the apostles, throughout his pages, wasn't focusing on the Holy Spirit, wasn't even focusing on the Father, was focusing on the Son, because he was the one the Father sent to the earth for our sins.
Well, it thrills me that we have this avenue, Tom, to be able to speak about the Holy Spirit, because I'll be honest with you, when I was a young man, I don't know that I ever heard a series of lessons taught on the Holy Spirit. I think it's detrimental to the faith that more lessons aren't taught about the Holy Spirit, because we've got to have an understanding, a fundamental understanding of the Godhead, so that we will have a fundamental understanding of the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand that the Holy Spirit is one of three of a divine nature that makes up the Godhead. He is like God the Father, he is like God the Son, and he is God the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit. Jesus Christ is a spirit. God is a spirit, but God is also a person. Jesus Christ is also a person, and the Holy Spirit is also a person. And this makes the Holy Spirit no more mystical, no more mysterious than God the Father or God the Son. This is something that we really need to focus on, because this error that is being taught and this feel-good feeling that people have with their imagination, thinking that the Holy Spirit is causing them to do something separate and apart from this word, is what the problem in religion is today.
How many times, David, have you heard people say, well, the Holy Spirit led me to do this, or led me to do that? Then when we find out, as we've already seen, and we're going to look at this more and more over the next several weeks, the Holy Spirit guides and directs us only through the written Word of God. And because that's what the Bible says.
Right. And this is what Jesus is trying to portray to us here in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. This is a promise to the apostles. It is going to be the Word that is going to be given to the apostles through the Holy Spirit that is going to be preached. Now, there will be also miraculous measures here given to the apostles, but that is not to do anything but to confirm what they have preached from God the Father and God the Son.
Well, David, we have about 30 seconds left, and I want to remind people of what we're going to be talking about next week. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, He, that is the Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
So we're going to talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon the world.
Exactly. And so it would be good for you to look at that this week and discuss it. Come up with some questions or comments you may have about that very thing. It's been great to have you in our audience this evening. We pray that you will open your Bibles and always check us out like the Bereans checked out the Apostle Paul. Check us out to make sure we're teaching what is right, and if we're not, you show us from the Bible where we're wrong. It's been great to have you in our audience tonight. We'll see you next week right here on KnowTheTruthRadio.org or the HPR Network. You have been listening to the HPR Network.